What a great reminder in that song. Today, we're not guaranteed of tomorrow, and today is the day to be winning souls. Today is the day to be praying for lost souls to come to know Christ and taking those opportunities to give the gospel. And as the song mentions there too, to save a dear one from the burning. And that's really what I would like us to think about this evening. You can take to take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and I'd like us in our remaining time here to just look briefly at the subject of the lake of fire. I know it's not a fun subject to look at. It's not something enjoyable to think about. It really is something that we don't want to think about it, just naturally. You know, it's hard to comprehend eternity in heaven, let alone eternity in the lake of fire. And that is really where this lost and dying world, every one of us, are heading unless we repent and believe the gospel. Turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. He alone is able. He is the one that has provided it. And it's interesting, too, as we look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, as you read throughout the New Testament, you'll notice that one of the common themes, one of the common subjects in the ministry of Jesus Christ here on this earth was the subject of judgment, the subject of hell. He spoke of it very frequently. And it's really, like I said, it's not something we want to talk about with people. It's not enjoyable to talk about. But at the same time, it is a reality, whether we want to talk about it or not, whether we want to deal with it or not, it is just as much a reality. There are hundreds of people, I'm sure, that have passed from life on this earth today that have gone into an eternity in the lake of fire. And it's a sobering thing. I would say it is the most sobering reality. I know in my own life, it's so easy to get caught up in my routine of life. You know, it's easy to just get going and, well, I got all these things to do. You know, you sit down and write out that to-do list and, boy, I got to get this done and this done. And, boy, how am I going to ever have time to go talk to that person about Jesus Christ? Or, well, you know, our mind as a Christian ought to be the focus. That ought to be the burden that is on our heart because we realize the people around us are lost and heading for an eternity in the lake of fire. And it's easy, too, in witnessing. I find myself, it's very easy to not want to bring up the subject of hell. Well, if you don't bring that up and, you know, include yourself, say, you know, we are all sinners heading for the lake of fire unless we repent and turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. People, when they hear the lake of fire mentioned, when they hear hell mentioned, it means a lot more to know that there is a Redeemer, to know that there is a plan of salvation. There is a way that we can avoid this terrible place. There is a way that we can be rescued from our sin and from the condemnation of it. And I would love for us as God's people tonight to really just be able to regain the perspective that God has as He looks down upon this earth. He hangs it in space on nothing. And His power to save is just as real as it has always been. And I'd love for us tonight to look, though, at three realities of hell, three realities of the lake of fire. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. And we find here a passage where Jesus Christ is speaking, and He's referring to the coming judgment day, the white throne judgment for lost souls. Verse 41, Christ says, "Then shall He say also unto them on the left," referring to God the judge, "then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Let's just pray briefly here. Father, we ask for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you have given us today already. Lord, I know I have been greatly encouraged by being here today and just fellowshipping with your people. Lord, what a blessing it is. I pray that you'd strengthen and grow each one of us here tonight, Lord, in this important area of dealing with the subject of hell. Help us, Father, to have the right perspective, the eternal perspective, and the perspective that Jesus Christ had during his ministry here on this earth. We ask for your blessing now, Lord, that you would guide, you would work in our hearts, change us according to your will. We pray this for your glory, and in Jesus' name, amen. Notice, first of all, here in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, at the very end of verse 41, that hell was not originally intended for people. Hell was not created for human beings like you and me. That's not the intent. God says here, Christ says, that it was prepared for the devil and his angels. It's interesting here to think about this because I remember having a man, when I was out knocking on doors, a man asked me, you know, well, don't you believe that God is good and that God created all things? And I was like, yes, yes. And he said, well, then if that is so, then how could it be that he created a lake of fire for people to go to? And, you know, it really caused me to search the scripture and find out exactly how that could be. But I find here in this passage that it was not intended for human beings. God did create everything perfect. He did not create things to be destroyed. That was not his intention. But at the same time, we must understand the character of God. God is righteous. He is holy. That's something that is very foreign to our thinking in the world that we live in. We do not hear much emphasis on the fact, you know, in this world around us, that God is holy. God is righteous. We have a hard time even comprehending what that is. That means absolutely no sin, absolutely no imperfection. He is perfectly righteous, perfectly holy. And because of that, and because he created us with a free will, he then has to bring justice to those who rebel against him, against his righteousness, against his holiness. And I'd like you to notice, secondly, that not only was hell originally intended for people, but God is just in allowing people to go there. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. God is just in allowing people to go there. Romans chapter 5. So remembering that God is righteous, God is holy, and he created us perfectly without sin. But notice what happened here. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, a familiar verse, I'm sure, but think about it here in a fresh way. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And we know also through in the book of Romans, the Bible tells us that because of this sin, the wages of our sin is death. Romans 6:23, the payment, the result, the penalty for this sin is death. And we are thus born sinners. We see here that as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. Wow. What an amazing thing to think about. You think about that for a moment. By one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. All of us today are going to die at some point because of sin. I'm thankful that God used a couple of funerals in my life as a young boy to get me thinking seriously about death. It caused me to realize, hey, I am a sinner, and I need to take this seriously. And God used it to draw me to himself and to seek after the truth. And I praise God for parents that opened up the scripture and showed me how I could be saved. And after several weeks of thinking about this and asking questions, I finally came to the point where I realized I needed Jesus Christ to save me. I was a sinner. Sin entered into the world and death by sin. One thing that is guaranteed in this life is that we are going to die. Unless Jesus Christ comes before that appointed time, we are going to die. And we need to remember that. It's not a fun thought. It's not an exciting thing. And especially if you don't know the Lord, if you know Christ as your Savior, then there's certainly great things to look forward to. A wonderful, much better than what we're experiencing here on this earth. No comparison. But I love to think about the fact here, what did Adam and Eve do? What was this one sin that they committed that was so heinous that brought condemnation upon the entire human race? Here we are, thousands of years later, billions of people that have descended from Adam and Eve. Billions of descendants that have been cursed by sin because of one man sinning and bringing sin into the world. What was it? What incredibly terrible crime did he commit? Well, the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve were commanded not to take of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life. They were told not to touch it, and they did. You say, that's it? All they did was touch the fruit and take a bite out of it? I mean, you know, wow, that's it? Yes. The significant part of it is that they did that act of rebellion against a righteous, holy God. God had blessed them with so many other blessings. Just like he does for us here today. You may be going through a trial, you may be going through some grief, but you know what? We're a lot better off than where we deserve to be right now. You realize that? We're a lot better off than where we deserve to be. There may be some things, you know, that we think we can complain about, but you know what? We're not burning in the lake of fire right now like where you deserve to be. And I trust that each one of us here in this room have made that decision to receive Christ as our Savior, and we're not heading toward that lake of fire. But sin entered into the world by one man who rebelled against God. He closed his eyes to all the goodness around him that God had provided, listened to the deceiver that you and I are very familiar with and have given into many times. Okay, we have rebelled just as wickedly against the same God. And you and I are condemned to hell. That seemingly little act of rebellion was so significant that it brought a curse upon every one of their descendants. That is amazing. It doesn't seem like it should be that bad. But my friend, God is so holy. He is perfectly righteous. And any bit of rebellion against him requires eternal damnation. And that's why there's a lake of fire that is eternally consuming the souls, the people who do not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And what a marvelous thing. God didn't have to send his Son to die for us. He didn't have to do that. But he so loved the world. Where this world is full of people who hate God and think that God hates them. My friend, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I've got two sons. I could not imagine giving them up for anybody, for anything. I love them. God has given them to me. I couldn't imagine doing that. God gave his Son, sent him here to this earth among sinners like you and me. Could you imagine leaving a place like heaven to come to a place where people hate, where a place where people kill, a place where people lie and deceive? Man, where there's just all kinds of wickedness going on. I couldn't imagine. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. He sent him here to this place to take on the form of a servant, to be made in the likeness of men, as we see in Philippians chapter 2. And not only that, he became a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. What is death? Death is the wages of our sin. He never sinned. He was the perfect sacrifice. And so as we think about the negative, the terrible reality of hell, it was not originally intended for people, and God is just in allowing people to go there. But praise God that He has provided a way of redemption. He has provided a way of salvation through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. John 3:17 says that He came not into the world to condemn the world. That's what He should have done. That's what we deserved. But He came not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You know, that applies to your coworker. That applies to your relative that it's very difficult to get along with. God sent that neighbor. Maybe you have a neighbor that's hard to deal with. You are to love them. That message this morning was a tremendous challenge. What a great challenge. We need to be seeking God to help us to show the love of Jesus Christ every day, in every situation. You know, the people around us are lost and dying. They are deceived. They are blinded. They are walking through this life on earth, blinded by sin, blinded by the hardness of it, blinded by the consequences and the wages, the scars of sin. And when they see a believer that's walking in joy, walking in fellowship with Christ, and the life of Christ is radiating from that believer, they don't know what to think. They don't know what to do. But they know that they need it. They know you have something they need. And may God help us to live that way so that they would be drawn to the Savior as a result of the way we live. And we are to be going out of our way to warn other people, to tell them, hey, God loves you. You're heading toward an eternity in the lake of fire. And that's where I was heading at one time too, until I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, as Acts 16:31 says. I put my trust in Him alone. And now I'm a child of God. I was an enemy of God before that. Now I'm His child. And He has given to me the Holy Spirit to dwell within me. And we are to be warning other people, pleading with them. Notice, last of all, that God's people must constantly and lovingly warn others. Turn to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, just before Revelation. Not only was hell not originally intended for people, God is just in allowing people to go there. But last of all, we as God's people must constantly and lovingly warn others. We have the truth. We have it. And we need to spread it to other people. You need to remember, you know, maybe you work with somebody of some other denomination, and they're really hard to get along with. They're really hard, you know, anytime you get into a conversation with them, it ends up in an argument. Be praying for them. They cannot stop your prayer. Maybe they don't want you to talk to them anymore about it. Or maybe some relative at family reunions, you know, they avoid you or they don't want to talk to you. They're shunning you. Pray for them. Love them. They cannot stop your prayers. They cannot stop Almighty God from intervening in their life and pouring out grace and mercy because of you loving them and praying for them. They can't stop that. They cannot. Satan cannot hinder that. We are, as we see in Ephesians, are seated at the right hand with Christ in the heavenlies. We have His strength. He told His disciples, all power is given unto you, unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. We have His divine strength and power. We need to rest in that. We need to believe it. We need to claim it. It is a promise that is given to us. And we are to go then with that confidence, the confidence that every knee is going to bow before Jesus Christ someday and confess with their mouth that He is Lord. Right. Do you believe that? Every one of these Muslims, these terrorists that are terrorizing so many parts of our world today, and trying to get people to follow their satanic denomination, religion, they're going to bow before Jesus Christ and acknowledge that He is Lord. Wow, that's encouraging to me. That's encouraging to me. That gives me a lot of courage to be able to go up to somebody and say, hey, let me tell you about how Jesus Christ can change your life. Let me tell you about what He's done for me, how He can rescue you from the lake of fire, save you from your sin and forgive you, free you of the guilt. So many wonderful things that He does when He redeems us and makes us His child. We are to be warning other people about this lake of fire. We're to be telling them the good news of Jesus Christ. Look at the in the book of Jude, verses 22 and 23. The Bible says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We are to have compassion. As we heard this morning, that compassion is an unusual thing. The normal thing in our world today is to show retaliation, to show anger, you know, to show selfishness. I'm number one, watch out for me. That's normal in our world. That's natural. It's supernatural to show love. Because God showed His love to us, and we as Christians, maybe you're a teenager, maybe you're a child. It doesn't matter what age you are. God can use you to show other people the way of salvation. He can use you. And we just need to be letting God have control of our heart so we can that can flow through us, and that compassion that He has shown to us, that mercy He shows to us, can flow right out of our lips as we communicate the love of Jesus Christ to someone else and share with them what Christ has done. We need to have compassion. Show compassion. It says, of some have compassion. You know, you can look at that this way too, that you're not going to, you may not have an opportunity to witness to the entire world, you yourself. Okay, we are commissioned to reach the gospel, to preach the gospel to the entire world. But God has ordained for certain people in your life to come across your path. And do you realize that you might be the only Christian that ever crosses paths with that lost soul? You might be the only Christian. And God has put that responsibility, that privilege upon you. And their blood is going to be upon your hands at the judgment day, the Bema Seat judgment, when we stand before Christ and give account of our works. Their blood will be upon our hands, the Bible tells us. If we do not live and give the gospel as we ought to. And that ought to be a sobering reality. We are to show compassion, making a difference. Compassion makes a difference. Doesn't that make a difference to you when somebody shows compassion toward you in some way? God uses that. It's an encouragement. It is a help. And then verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Our flesh is so wicked, it prevents many Christians from warning other people about hell. It keeps lost people from seeing their need of the Savior. But through God's strength, when we pray, when we live for Him, that light of the gospel shines bright. And it can overcome the darkness and dispel it. And we are to others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I think of the song, Rescue the Perishing. Plead with them earnestly. Plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. If they would believe on Christ. But sometimes we need to plead more earnestly and more fervently with people as we pray for them that God would work in their hearts. As we close this evening, I'd like to just share with you a couple of illustrations briefly. There's an atheist man by the name of Penn Jillette. He has a TV show, I guess. I've never seen it. I've heard about it. But this man is an atheist, and he's very open about it. He loves to tell, you know, people that he's an atheist. He loves to make a mock of the Bible, of Christians. So anyways, one day after one of his shows, there was a Christian man that came to him and had the courage to come up to this man. I would have a hard time controlling my anger after hearing some of the comments he makes about Christians. But this man, filled with the love of Jesus Christ and compassion for this man's soul, went up to this atheist man and explained to him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it so moved Penn Jillette that you can actually go on YouTube and watch a video that he put on there telling the account of this Christian man. And in this, the atheist man, Penn Jillette, says, I've met a lot of people who call themselves Christians, but I have never met one like this man. He said he was so compassionate. He was so obviously concerned for me. And it so moved this atheist man that he recorded himself on video, and you can see it on YouTube. And one statement that he made in there is he was talking about this man and how he was proselytizing. He kept using that term, proselytizing. He kept referring to him, you know, as he was giving him the gospel. He said he was so compassionate. He said he was so concerned for me that I was going to spend eternity in hell. And he wanted me to know how I could be rescued from that. He said this statement here, "You have to have a lot of hate to believe that somebody is going to spend an eternity like that and not warn them." That's what this atheist man said. You have to have a lot of hate to believe that people are going to spend eternity in hell, is what he was referring to, and not warn them. You know, I don't think that most of us here tonight are full of hate. I doubt that any of us are. I actually think it's love. Love for ourselves. Love for ourselves to be so concerned about, man, what are they going to think about me? You know, there's three people that are going to hear me talking to this person here, and God can give you courage. Remember, they're heading for a Christless eternity. Don't miss an opportunity, a divine appointment that God brings into your life because you're afraid of what somebody's going to think. You will never regret just trusting God for strength. Say a quick prayer and to cast your dependence on Him and say, "Lord, help me right now. You're opening up this opportunity." And give the gospel. Show them the love of Christ. If you were blind, I know we have a brother here that is blind, but if you were literally blind and you were walking toward a huge drop-off, would you not want somebody to come and warn you about it before you drop off? You know, wouldn't you want someone to even, if you weren't going to listen, wouldn't you want them to even grab a hold of you and pull you back and prevent you from falling to your death or paralyzation for life? That is how we need to view this lost and dying world around us. They're going to mock us. They're going to make fun of us. And it's not you. They're rejecting Christ. But we still need to love them. Look at what Jesus did. He let those soldiers who were beating him, whipping him, mocking him, spitting in his face, pounding a crown of thorns on his head, jabbing the spear in his side and whipping his back, he let them do it. Because he knew they could have eternal life if he let them do it. And he let that righteous, sinless blood flow. He let them do it. I think we can put up with somebody laughing at us. We can put up with somebody rolling their eyes. We can put up with that. But just continue to show compassion. Show the love of Christ. And we'll see lost souls come to know Christ as Savior. Let's pray.